Little warning before this episode starts. This episode includes sexual assault, murder, and many other issues with this world and this guy who we're talking about today. If you cannot handle that, this is not the episode for you. Please watch another episode. Watch episode 5. It was great. It was awesome. Yeah, but you have been warned. Welcome to Ultra Cut. Sorry about the kind of cringy introduction. You have been warned. I think it was pretty good. Anyways, getting on to this episode, I would like to put it out there that I messed up a couple times in the last episode. If you watched the last episode, it was about conspiracies and a little political. If you do not enjoy politics, you do not enjoy controversy or other people's opinions, do not watch that episode. You can watch episode 1, 2, 3, or 4. This is episode 6, so thank you guys so much for listening. If you are here, tell your family and friends about this episode, about this podcast. I mean, come on, it's fun, it's awesome. So moving on, I am all alone today. It's just me. If you guys are wondering, Jackson has decided to not do the podcast anymore. Well, every episode my voice is crack. If you guys are wondering, Jackson has decided to not do the podcast anymore. He does not want to be my co-host. He said he would like to focus on school and he doesn't want to start something that he can't finish. So I am not upset. I'm not mad at him. Jackson is a brother to me. He's amazing. And whatever he decides to do, I will back him up on it. So I told him that if he didn't want to do the podcast, he doesn't have to do the podcast. That being said, I will still be doing the podcast. There just may be a lot more other people. I will be doing this podcast now, and I will be doing this podcast in the future. I do not plan on stopping whatsoever. I don't care what other people say. I don't care if people think it's cringy, if people think it's stupid, if they. I had somebody comment that it should be $1,000 to start a podcast. If you want me to be honest, I would pay that $1,000 just to talk to a microphone. I don't even care if anybody listens. Obviously, I care. I want this to get out there. But it's as much as it's for other people, it is a lot for me because I enjoy doing this. This is something I like to do. And that kind of leads me into my sponsor, RSS. So if you guys like listening to podcasts and you think, wow, that would be really fun to start, but you just don't know what distribution site to use, use RSS. I'm telling you, it is a lifesaver. RSS is your one-stop shop to distribute your podcast anywhere. So if you want to become a podcaster like myself, if you were just hoping that one day you don't have to go through a million different distribution sites just to get it out to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many, many more, then RSS is your place. So go to www.rss.com ?via, that's ?via, VIA equals uncut. www.rss.com ?via, VIA equals uncut. And that will get you your first episode published for free. And after that, if you are in college, it's 60% off. And if you would like to keep doing your podcast, it $24.99 a month, which really is not that bad because some places cost a lot more, trust me. So if you want to start your podcast and you don't know where to distribute it, use RSS, www.rss.com ?via equals uncut. All right, back to Uncut. I know that John Wilkes Booth did not assassinate JFK. I was mixed up during the episode. I was actually gonna cut that part, but I decided not to because I liked how long the episode was, and that was a big part of the episode. I know he didn't assassinate. I know he didn't murder JFK. I know it was Abraham Lincoln. I was thinking about Abraham Lincoln. Sinatra said, JFK, it was my fault, not his. It's not his podcast. It's not his episode to say, to correct me. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to correct myself. So I'm sorry for any of the confusion. I promise I'm not dumb. I just got my people mixed up. I was thinking of Abraham Lincoln and he was talking about JFK. So that is on my bad. I should have been paying attention more. I should have been listening more, but it was the first episode of Ultra Cut. We know how first episodes go. They're a little rough, but it was fun. It was fun to make. So, all right. That leads us to our new segment, Ultra Cut. Once I started, there was nothing else like it. Drawing skulls and demonic pictures with blood in his jail cell, randomly killing victims and only admitting to a couple murders with thoughts of many, many more. The man I'm talking about today looks normal, talks normal, and had two different lives. This man's name is Israel Keyes, one of the most prolific and craziest serial killers ever. While not as famous as Dahmer or Gacy, this man is just as bad, if not worse. To start us out, we are actually going to talk about his last victim, the one who got this man caught, Samantha Koenig. Raised and lived in Alaska, while seemingly working a normal day, her life, her family's life, and the world was about to find out who Israel Keyes is. Welcome to Ultra Cut, and this is the first murder episode. Another warning before going more deeper into this story, Israel Keyes did sexually assault Samantha. If you cannot handle sexual assault or the talking or anything of it, this is not the episode for you. Please do not push yourself to listen if you cannot handle it. But if you can, enjoy this sick story of a sick man named Israel Keyes. With a $41,000 reward on Samantha's head, little did her family know she was not going to be found alive. Now, Israel hated when things were out of hand. He was a little OCD in that way, in that aspect. In an interview, Israel said, "There's a specific way I want things done. I have the whole thing planned out and everything I need to do it." While traveling, Israel would rent cars in one state and take bodies to another to bury them. Salt Lake City, Utah, Cleveland, Ohio, Edmond, Washington, and Fort Wayne, Indiana are just a few places he had visited. In some places, there are potential victims. On February 1 of 2012, Samantha vanished after a night shift at an espresso stand in Alaska. After work, Samantha was supposed to be picked up by her boyfriend. With many, many calls to Samantha's phone unanswered, Samantha's boyfriend and family began to worry. Samantha's boyfriend's phone began to get texts saying, "I'm going on vacation. I'm tired and leaving." Now, Samantha's family knew that was out of character for her and knew instantly that something was wrong. While Samantha was doing her closing duties around 8 p.m., a masked man walked up to the window, and after handing the man something, Samantha backs up with her hands in the air like a gun is pointed at her. After turning the lights off, a man jumps through the window and two people walk away, suspected to be Samantha and the robber. While fear started piling up around town, Samantha's father would stand up and talk to cameras and people and try to bring awareness to his daughter being missing, saying stuff like, "I don't know if my daughter is being fed, sleeping well, or doing okay." That is terrifying as a father. I'm not a father yet, but I know that my dad would be terrified if one of his children went missing. He wouldn't know what to do with himself. And I'm guessing that's exactly how Samantha's father felt. After 3 weeks, Samantha's boyfriend got a ransom note on his phone saying, "Look at Connor Park under a picture of Albert. Ain't she purty? After getting that text, Samantha's family rush to the park. While at the park, the family sees a missing dog poster, and under that, they see a plastic bag. After seeing this, they instantly called the police. In the plastic bag was a picture of Samantha holding a newspaper dated February 13, and the message was for ransom, asking for $30,000 to be deposited to Samantha's bank account. After her father deposited $5,000 into her account, a withdrawal using Samantha's card had happened. Israel used the card in Arizona, New Mexico, and two places in Texas, Humble and Shepherd. While heading east, Israel made a huge mistake by letting the cameras at the ATM see him getting out of the white Ford Focus. On March 13, a police officer noticed a car matching the description of the vehicle in the hotel parking lot in Texas. After Israel left the hotel, the trooper follows him, and the second he exceeds the speed limit, Israel was pulled over. Now, I'd like to interrupt Ultra Cut by saying this is the part where things start to get gruesome, a little rough, and a little hard to listen to. Now, back to Ultra Cut. After being pulled over, Israel Keyes handed the officer his ID, and nothing came to mind because Israel Keyes was a nobody. He was a nobody to police. He was a nobody to the world. But the officer's instincts told him to check the car. And while checking the car, he found Samantha's debit card, her phone, a gun, and a disguise matching the disguise in the ATM photos. After being arrested, Israel was extradited to Alaska. After being with Israel, the investigator said sometimes it was like talking to your neighbor, just a normal man. And other times, he had the hair on the back of your neck standing up. After getting Israel's demands, which was a coffee, a Snickers bar, and a scar, he confessed to kidnapping Samantha using a .22 caliber pistol. When he asked why he picked that place, Israel said, because it was open late. Now, if that doesn't tell you how unhinged this man was, I really don't know what will. This man kidnapped a lady because it was open late. After being kidnapped, Samantha ended up breaking free and running. But Israel chased her down, tackled her, and said to Samantha that if she cooperated, she will be let free after getting the money he needs in his possession. But instead, he took Samantha home, chained her up in his shed, and sexually assaulted her. After that, he put his hands around her neck and strangled her to death. While in custody, the family of Israel Keyes told investigators that this is as much of a surprise to them as it is to the world. While Israel talked to investigators, they said he talked about the murder like you would talk to a friend about sports over lunch. Now, after murdering Samantha, Israel left the Caribbean with his family. While Israel and his family were on vacation, Samantha was back in the shed until Israel got back. Once Israel came back, that's when he took the picture for the ransom note of Samantha holding the newspaper. Now you're probably wondering, how did they not know? Well, that's because when Israel came back, the body was in rough shape. It was decomposing. So Israel took his wife's makeup. You heard that right. Israel took his wife's makeup and did the best he could to make Samantha look alive, and then took the picture of her holding the newspaper. Now, I don't know about you guys, speaking to the guys in general, if you know this, but women are kind of particular about their makeup. Women, if you're listening to this, you know I'm right. But as a guy, I know not to touch my mother's makeup, my sister's makeup, and my girlfriend's makeup. I know that is a no-go. So me knowing I'm not even supposed to touch that stuff, I couldn't even imagine learning that your makeup was used to make a dead woman's face look more alive. It's petrifying. Now let's talk about the newspaper real quick. The newspaper was found in the trash with an earlier date on the newspaper. Too early. Earlier than when he kidnapped her. So Israel, being who he is, changed the date on the newspaper to make it look more recent, to make it look like Samantha was in good shape at the time of the newspaper. Now back to the interview. Israel stated he is two different people. Israel claimed to be two different people for 14 years, meaning Israel could have been killing for 14 years before 2012. So that means he could have been killing the 1990s and early 2000s all the way to the early 2010s. That is a long time. 14 years, this man could have been a serial killer. Going back to Samantha in the shed. The body ended up freezing, but when having to take a picture for the ransom, she needed to look alive, unthawed. She needed to not be blue. So Israel unthawed her and took the picture. But after unthawing the body, Israel did something no one should ever even come close to thinking about. After 2 weeks of being dead, frozen, now unthawed, Israel sexually assaulted Samantha's dead, decaying body. While being hesitant to say this in the interview, Israel, in a twisted, sick way, said, "It was warm." That's it. It was warm. That's what Israel had to say about that. That's just, that's sickening. Now, while one of the sexual assaults was happening, Israel's kid came out to the shed and knocked on the shed's door, asking, "Dad, what are you doing? It's almost time for you to take me to school." And Israel, while sexually assaulting Samantha's body, nonchalantly says, "I'll be there in a minute, honey. Finish your cereal. Finish your cereal. I'll be right there," he told his daughter. Could you even imagine what that would feel like to learn that your father, who you think is an amazing guy, is out defiling a corpse while you were asking him to take you to school? That may just be one of the most heart-wrenching and stomach-turning things I've ever heard in my life. No, I enjoy true crime. I enjoy the podcasts. I enjoy 48 Hours. I enjoy a lot of true crime things. But hearing this for the first time made my stomach turn. Even just hearing it made me want to throw up. I couldn't even imagine sitting there with Israel and hearing it come out of his mouth. Or being the daughter who learned that, or being the wife who found out my husband isn't who I think he is. While in an interview, Israel asked for all of this to be kept out of the media so his daughter could have a normal life. Israel ruined that kid's life the day he decided to be who he is. The media got a hold of this, and the interviewers did exactly what Israel promised Samantha. They did the opposite. He said, "I'll tell you everything. I'll give you two names and two bodies." We'll get into that in another episode. But he said, "I'll give you two names and two bodies if you just keep it out of the media." And they did exactly what Israel did. They lied, which is good. Not good for the daughter or the wife, but good because the world needed to hear about this man, about how evil people can be. We know about Dahmer. We know about Gacy. This is after them. We know that that people can be evil. And while I'm not making Dahmer's situation seem light or Gacy's situation seem light, because they're not, but this man took it to a whole nother level. While Dahmer and Gacy were in the game, in the serial killing game, for maybe a couple years, if that, this man was in the game for 14 years. There could be hundreds of bodies around the country. Israel Keyes has only confessed to three murders, but the FBI suspects that he killed at least 11 victims in total. Now, whether you think the man killed 11 people in 14 years or not, he confessed to only three. I think he killed a lot more. Anyways, that will conclude this episode of Uncut with the new segment Ultra Cut. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review wherever you watch it, or comment on YouTube if you want to hear more. If you guys want to hear more about Israel Keyes, or if you guys want a Dahmer episode, or a Gacy episode, or some other episode that you've never, other serial killer or murder you've never even heard of, let me know. If you have a murder that you know of in your state and you'd like me to cover it, You can email uncut2004@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram, or PM me on TikTok, or comment on YouTube. Thank you all for listening, and make sure you catch the next episode of Uncut. And thank you for listening to this one.